You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Who could have imagined that those quick scrolls through Instagram, those seemingly mindless swipes on TikTok, could actually be shaping the future of how our children learn? Social media, the double-edged sword of our time, has exploded from a place of gossip and memes into a dynamic classroom without walls. But here's the thing. It's not just about the content. It's the connection. The real-time, raw, unfiltered peer support. Flipping the script on what learning looks like. Yet with all this power, there's also some danger. The potential to distract, to distort, and to disempower. Tonight, I'm in conversation with Ronald Nyamugua, a man who's not just studying the shift, but living it, breathing it, and wrestling with what it means for our future generations. Ronald, do I have you back on the line?
Correct.
Is this better for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. So I started off earlier by saying that what I've noticed is that social media has gone from a fun distraction to a full-blown educational ecosystem practically overnight. How did we get here? Mm-hmm. What factors accelerated this seismic shift?
Okay, so over the years, trying to educational therapists, educational professionals, education enthusiasts, mm-hmm. and those who are always developing these spaces have realized something. I've been trying to solve a problem.
Okay.
How do we get our learners engaged? And this is not just your younger children. Mm-hmm. How do you even get adults engaged?
Yeah.
So you find we have been chasing different things through generations of different things that take our attention.
Mm.
Right. There were years where the newspaper was a major form of information, right? There was a time when the radio was another form of information, right?
Yeah.
And we are at a stage where the internet, the WhatsApp is a major source of information. I've seen accidents which happen within 30 minutes, the rest of the nation knows about the accident before even ambulances, response teams even get to know about that information. And and so these people have always been looking at the trend.
Mm.
And you will find the way social media has been designed today is in such a way that it leaves you hooked. And that, someone was actually commenting today that they are qualified doctors, they are qualified therapists who are actually working in these social media companies. They are children who are being tested to see how they perform as some form of lab rat.
Mm.
Right? At what point do they stop engaging? At 30 minutes or at the change of interval? There are people who are working tirelessly to both see how we can disrupt people, but there are also people who are also copying those same trends. So where radio is the major source of information, we try to plug it in there as well. Where technology becomes the source of information, where social media is, right? And you realize that even on TikTok, you've got some really, really cool people who are answering questions, who are explaining things better for students.
Mm.
So we arrived here because we cannot remove the major, we cannot fight against what is taking children or learners' time.
Yeah.
But rather, if we embed the educational concepts within the mediums that appeal to them, then we may have just reached the same level of of satisfaction and accomplishment.
That makes so much sense. That makes so much sense to me. And what does this mean then for the traditional classroom? Is it crumbling? Is it evolving? Or perhaps emerging with these new digital spaces? What do you see happening?
So the brick and mortar is not crumbling.
Okay.
It's actually evolving. Right? It's actually evolving. You find we are breaking down the barriers of learning, where the only source of information was the lady, the old lady, the old grumpy lady with those broken specs, and that falling hair was the only source of information that we had.
Yeah.
Right. And if she happened to be my relative, it meant that I had an advantage over the holiday because I would go to her place.
Mm.
But now teachers are moving to becoming facilitators of learning, right? Where you are making children write notes and you're telling them for your homework, go to Robert Greene's YouTube page on mathematics. Right, he's got a video. I'm sending you a link to go and understand the concept of Pythagoras theorem. I'm sending you a link to a social media platform because this person actually has explained it better.
Yeah,
his social media statistics of over 12 million people are showing that this video has been understood by a lot of people. Right, and where I may have not, my attention span may not have been very at its best between the 10 to 12 periods, I can then go back home, take a nap, and wake up and watch the video. So education is actually evolving. We are removing the barriers of learning. We are increasing the forms of learning, the opportunities for children to understand, to reiterate without looking stupid in front of their peers. They can ask all the dumb questions within their blankets, in their closed room. And tomorrow morning, the child who got it at the first instance and the child who had to watch the video 10 times, we are at the same level in the class.
Oh, how I wish that was the case when I was in school. But I'm curious. Yeah. I'm curious, Ronald. Is social media making knowledge more democratic, or are we trading one set of gatekeepers for another, just in a flashier package?
So it's a bit of both. It's a bit of both, and we then have to guard against what we are putting forward, right? It's a very competitive space. The same way we want to compete for our child's success is the same way someone is working tirelessly to make them a user of social media. Remember, the producers of both social media content and the producers of drugs like cocaine, they call the end the person who uses them a user.
A user.
Yes. So we are both users. So it's a bit of both. What we just have to do is we just have to keep evolving or innovating around the ways in which we are governing against the challenges around the exposure that comes in social media. Remember, we've lived in worser times where people still had challenges as children, but we've always found ways. So we just have to innovate around that.
Sure. Social media, one thing I've learned about it is that it thrives on community. And I'm wondering, how are learners leveraging these platforms to support, challenge, and teach each other? Is that something they're conscious of doing?
If I'm getting you correct, you're asking if communities, the teachers, the students, are leveraging it.
or the learners themselves? Are they banding together to create communities online? You know how like you would find in school, and the learners who don't, the learners who get it are mentoring the ones who don't. Do you see that happening, that online community happening?
Okay, so let me tell you a short story.
Please, I love stories.
Of a company I used to work for called Level Up Village, and we used to, I still remember the motto so much, you know, and I used to love working with them, you know. we had a platform, right? We had a platform for, you know, like a Facebook kind of platform where your students who go through an 8-week course in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, and you're paid to another student in Europe or in Asia, either as a group or as individuals to individuals. And what would happen is maybe you're doing a STEM course on utilizing renewable sources of energy sustainably, right? So the course would start off where you're telling each other about the environment, and then you finally do a project in relation to renewable energy and how we can take advantage or harness the energy sources that we have in our nation. So the final part of the project would be, let's just say you had to design a poster in Canva of maybe so in Zimbabwe or in Africa, like it was solar, it was sun. So you maybe had to design maybe a solar plant of some sort, right? And then in Asia, maybe it's wind in it. So they would have to design something that looks like a wind plant. So what would happen is they would do the projects, they would design the poster to the best of their capacity, right? And then they exchange. So you then send your partner student the link, and they had to edit it and to modify and to help you make your project better.
Yeah.
Right. So at the heart of it, it wasn't just about Mpumi and Ronald, who live in the same neighborhood, helping each other. It was Mpumi getting help from Alex, who is 30,000 miles away. And they're sharing their experiences of where they are, right? And where they had more knowledge on wind energy, and where I had knowledge on energy from the sun, we would exchange knowledge. So we could help each other, right?
Yeah.
And you'll find these students actually help each other better than the help they would get from the teacher. So by the time the teacher is saying, hey, what are you doing right now? These kids are glued, they're helping each other.
They're miles ahead,
Exactly. I also did a course with ALX, and they also have a learning management system. It's like a social media platform. So each time you learn something, you have to put it on. You have to put the reflection on your timeline, and people get to comment on the skill you just learned, the project you just learned, and you get help from someone in Lesotho who's mastered that concept better.
Yeah.
So you are removing all the other barriers, and you are having people help each other in different areas. And you're not limited to the people within your scope, but to everyone else around the world.
Oh, wow. Do you find that this peer learning is organic, or does it need structure for it to work?
So what I've seen is that with organizations that put them, that create a platform, right? As long as the platform provides real value, right? It becomes organic and it just blows up. I see it with a lot of open source software, right? Like on GitHub. GitHub has provided a platform for developers to start projects, and they organically grow, right? Everyone is feeding into it every day. But at the end of the day, you've got a free ERP that you can download and then customize. But it has been developed over time by different people.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. What do you believe are the unique skills that students develop when they actually learn through social media? Do you think there's room for creativity, critical thinking, and digital literacy that happens in that space more than in the traditional classroom?
Collaboration is the biggest.
Yeah.
If I'm to rank those four C's, I'll put collaboration first.
Mm.
Right, I would put communication second.
Mm.
Right, because remember, these kids, some of them are in different time zones, and you're not calling on a friend of yours who you use colloquial language. So sometimes you have to stick to proper English.
Mm.
Not only that, but you have to give enough context on whatever it is, a project that you're doing, for the next person to understand. It's part of learning how to communicate enough.
Yeah.
Within the collaboration, when you are given time to do a project, you have to do it within a certain time frame, because you understand all it's daytime here, it's nighttime on the other side. So you have to collaborate in order to meet a deadline.
Mm.
It's also forcing creativity as well. On the students as well. It's forcing creativity. Because you are getting ideas from different people. So you also, because you're being given something by someone, you're not only becoming a recipient, but you're also having to contribute. Remember, in the Level Up Village example I gave you, you would have to also give insights to their project.
Mm.
And you had to learn to be creative as well.
Sure. And have you seen? Have you ever seen a student's life trajectory change because of something that they learned online?
Of what they learned online, I don't have personal testimonies or individuals, but we have seen the impact it's had in some of the students that have gone through these programs. I've seen how children have grown from disliking school completely to understanding why they need to learn and finally finding their why, right? Yeah, actually, I'm thinking of some kids who will see parents would be struggling to get them to, it's not that they were dumb, it's just they weren't motivated. But when they're exposed to social media and they get to hear that LeBron James did this before, or there are these people who are comedians, but they were engineers, something like that.
Yeah.
Some of those examples, right?
There's a lot of relatability.
Yeah, it's different when you get to experience the billionaire who's driving your favorite car, the Bugatti or Maybach.
Yeah,
you know, as compared to that old lady with those spectacles with some sellotape telling you, you need to work harder, you'll be better. You know?
Yes,
it is different. Yeah.
Ronald, if social media wasn't invented yet, and I'm really just curious about how you're thinking about this, but you were tasked with pitching it to the Department of Education, how would you sell it as a teaching tool without terrifying them?
Without terrifying them?
Without terrifying the department and those old ministers, how would you sell the tool if it wasn't something that existed yet?
I would talk about how you can achieve more within the same time, how your priorities with students would shift.
Yeah.
From, like, for example, if I was pitching a system which is probably kind of like a social media platform, but it's for learning and has AI embedded in it, which allows you to get impact reports and assessments reports from the students It allows you to see the trends in their pass rates. I would pitch it as something that helps them to achieve more within the same time frame, allowing those same educators to then focus on bettering their lives, maybe doing spending more time on their side hustles, spending more time with their families. But at the same time, they are now able to get real insights into their learner during the time that they're learning. I would pitch it also as something that allows them to not only be the one source of information for students, but allows them also to explore
different teaching styles.
To have some form of,
I'd love for us to dig into the consequences, because we've been talking a lot about the beauty of learning on social media now. But what's a skill or a habit that you believe students are losing because they now rely on social media for learning?
Okay. We are definitely having students who are falling into the trap of two-minute noodles.
Yes.
Microwave information. Mm. Yeah. Whilst we want to prompt them to learn how to research information, right? Sometimes you can't control whether the student has gone to understand the concept from a YouTube video or from a TikTok video versus as a student actually just gone to the answer, skipped the 14-minute video and then gone to the part where he says, therefore, X is equal to 2x plus y.
So they've missed the entire principle and the workaround.
Exactly. Ish. So there is that danger as well. Yeah. So back when you had to sign into the library.
Yeah.
When I went to uni, the library was like probably could only accommodate like a tenth of the whole population.
Yes.
So you know, if you arrive at the library at 10 past 8, you'll probably not find someone to sit in the library, you know, and you had to then study outside, but you didn't have access. But we would do that because you needed to go through maybe three different textbooks for you to finally come to a conclusion to say, okay, this is the answer. As opposed to now, the art of researching and learning whilst researching, you know, 2 plus 2 is 4, but you don't, sometimes if we don't teach them correctly, they don't get to know why 2 plus 2 is 4.
And this is something that I'm often challenging my nieces on, just the art of thinking. I think that gets lost when you can easily access a 15-minute video of somebody who took 15 days to research and corroborate references and data and different think pieces. And I think the art of thinking is so lost, because now we can find synopses and just bibliographies online. I think that is really, really dying. And do you think... Go ahead.
Yeah, so the beauty about some parts of the same social media and AI-embedded platforms is some of them use Socrates' method of learning, where it's when you are struggling to get the answer, you are asked strategic questions that allow you to think towards what the possible answer would be. They won't give you answers. You ask you, how can I help you? And you're asking, I'm trying to add 1 plus 3, you know, but I think it's 5 instead of 4. So it will probably ask you a question like, if you had 1 grape and 3 apples, how many fruits combined do you have? So it helps you to reimagine the scenario in a different way without giving you the answer, but helping you to get to the answer.
Yeah. And what do you What do you think the danger is of now training a generation to think in hashtags and captions rather than paragraphs and chapters? Because that's how we used to learn. You express yourself in that way, and you start speaking like that with the Gen Z, and they're just like, I don't even know what the acronyms are these days. My own nieces, I fight with them so much, and I'm just like, guys, they can't even write properly because they don't write properly. They never do.
Yeah, that's true. And the truth is, there's no motivation to...
No.
I mean, what's the reward for writing properly? So maybe there is no reason for writing properly. What is the skill that's necessary now? Is where we have to put our focus on.
Yeah.
Writing properly is what we have to focus on. Then maybe if communicating is at the core of it, then we have to reinvent the why.
Now I'm thinking about what you're saying, because now I'm trying to think, can they actually communicate to these kids? I don't know if they can. And this is my gripe with social media learning, is that it's like giving people the tip of the iceberg. And you're just like, if you knew the depth of this iceberg, even the tip that you are saying or hearing would make more sense, and you would communicate better, not just what you heard, but what you think about what you heard. I've got a lot of issues. I love social media learning. I think it's the best thing to ever happen to us. Because what's happening now with social media is that it's becoming a search engine. The thing we used to do on Google, we now do on TikTok. I can go to TikTok and say, hey, what is the best? Da, 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 da. And there'll be a plethora of videos, and it's engaging because it's somebody's face, possibly somebody whose accent I like or whose face looks absolutely stunning to me. So it's interesting how now it's becoming a search engine. And I remember, was it one of the execs on Instagram coming on video and saying, hey guys, we're moving in this direction. Now what you used to do on Google, you can now do here on the platform. And that's just amazing because there's so many formats. Also, you get video, you get audio, you get carousel. So whatever your learning style is accommodated there versus what you find in a traditional class with just a teacher. If you hate her voice, if you don't like her because she's mean, if you are always judging the way she dresses, you're stuck with her for the whole year. But social media allows you to get a whole variety of teachers at your fingertips. I think that's very, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you think that social media could ever replace the emotional side of learning, though? The bond with a teacher, the pride of mastering something slowly?
Look, I'll look back to a part of my life. There were teachers who really tried to help me understand.
Yeah.
But there were also teachers who really didn't care. I don't think those teachers were at work because they wanted to. Mm-hmm. Probably they just failed to get into any other course and they ended up there.
Mm.
You know, yes, there are some teachers who I was their favorite. And I bonded with them.
Yeah.
So it's a mixed bag. However, the human element becomes a gold mine.
Yeah.
And it becomes the center of learning sometimes because part of the learning process is interaction, getting guidance.
Yeah.
Hence, teachers now have to then become facilitators, and when they move from being the lecturer or the instructor to becoming a facilitator, it means they're not judging the child in the moment where they are really failing to get stuff. Moving their tasks towards showing more love and encouraging. You know, so we still need them. Obviously, social media on its own won't assist the student because there's still a lot of concepts that come or a lot of lessons that come with just having someone in front of you and who's actually communicating correctly.
Yeah.
As opposed to where students are saying wagwan to each other and the teacher will be like, good morning. I say good morning.
Yes.
You know. Yeah. So there are some lessons that are not embedded within the learning system, but they instill values and cultures.
And with that, yeah, with that, if big tech companies were actually to design an education curriculum tomorrow, what subjects do you think they would push and which ones might disappear altogether?
I think it depends on with the agenda of the company or who's funding them.
Yeah.
But I know STEM courses will definitely, at the moment, STEM courses are probably science, technology, maths, are probably going to get more audience. And maybe culture would be at the very least, because whilst we are moving towards a global economy, right? And you probably need to learn culture only when you want to move to certain areas. And I mean, culture remains culture. It doesn't evolve per se.
Yeah,
fine, it does evolve. But if you're going into, for example, China or the Indians, they probably have ways, or Japanese, they probably have ways that they do, they perform business.
Certainly.
And you have to learn certain things.
Yeah.
But it's not at the core of the actual thing. So I think science courses, STEM rather, would be pushed heavily.
Now that you're saying this, I'm curious, what lessons or values do you think should never, ever be taught through social media?
that's a tricky one. I don't think you can actually teach things such as instilling routines in children. I'm not sure if you can, right? I mean, there's something within your mom coming to just switch on the lights in the morning and the light is in your face, and before you even touch her spoons, you had to have made your bed, you had to have maybe swept outside,
brushed your
teeth, you should have watered the garden. You know, I'm not sure how we can teach those things. You know, you had to polish your shoes before you slept. You had to iron your clothes. I don't know how, because there are some things that can only be learned practically by doing. Like swimming as well. You can't teach swimming on social media. You have to dive into the pool.
This is true.
Yeah.
This is true. And if social media were a student in your class, Ronald, what kind of learner would it be?
Yeah.
The overachiever, the class clown, or the rebel? Or is that dependent on how you fed your algorithm?
Yeah, I think the biggest worry would be it would learn from what I know.
Yes.
And I fear seeing myself in that baby that I would have created as social media. And it shows me a true reflection of who I am, even when I'm unaware.
Yeah.
So it will probably be a true reflection of who I am.
And who are you? Yeah. Are you an overachiever or a class clown or a rebel?
Well, I'm an ambivert. It depends with the situation.
I hear you.
There are some people who've never seen me in professional mode because they know me for just being playful.
Yeah.
And there are some people who never see the playful child, the playful person.
Ever? Or,
So it depends. It's really situational.
And what kind of a kid were you in class, though?
In class, there were years when I was the diligent. Yeah, I remember the word diligent being used a lot.
About you.
You know. Yes, in my report. And then there were seasons when The word playful was also used.
Okay.
Yeah. There were seasons when those things were also being used. But I can probably attribute it to things that were happening in those times.
Yes.
And I can understand why that was going on in those different times.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. Finally, what's one thing you wish students knew about using social media that could change their entire academic journey?
There's global exposure. Yeah, you've got access to real world skills. Yeah, you've got variety as well.
Yeah.
And it's easily accessible as well.
Mm.
So those are some of the benefits. Maybe if I could also just touch on the potential challenges.
Yeah.
You know, you are prone to a lot of misinformation.
This is true.
And distractions as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that over-reliance as well, where before you even think, you are already looking for the answer. But mm-hmm. your teacher would be like, no, what's the answer?
Yeah. It's quite clear to me that social media is rewriting the rules of education. You know, it's promise, it's pitfalls, and the wide frontier ahead. And I think if people want to swim against it, they might be swept by the current, because it's here, it's raging, and those who want to cooperate and swim in its direction, in the direction of the current, that is, are the ones that are going to benefit the most. So thank you for opening our eyes. And is there perhaps something that you had in mind coming into this conversation that I didn't quite get to, that you believe is critical before we close out the conversation?
I think the race goes on.
Mm.
Yeah, we just have to keep up.
Mm.
We have to keep up. Otherwise, we are losing people. If we focus more on finding ways of continuously engaging.
Yeah.
So the challenge again is healthcare companies that are making solutions are focusing on what they think is the solution.
Interesting.
I think we need to change our narrative and the way we think things and getting into the teacher, putting the teacher first, putting the learner first, although sometimes it may not work to put them first. But we need to strike a balance there where we put the learner first. This is why you find a lot of the solutions, you know, even if we create a sort of Facebook kind of system, it may fail to get adopted, you know, even though Facebook or Instagram are thriving. Mm. So we need to put the learner at the center of the learning. We need to put the parents as well, because the parent is the one who gets the homework at the end of the day.
Mm.
You know, the teacher is the one who's learning, is working with the students.
Mm. Mm.
If we can integrate those, then we might just win.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Ronald. It's lovely chatting to you as always.
Thank you for having me. I also always enjoy the conversation.
Cheers, Ron.
All right. Bye.
I think how I would want to just end this conversation is that the digital world is here to stay. It's how we engage with it that will shape our children's future. So maybe pause, reflect, and choose your role intentionally in all of this, because the next great leap in education might just come from that very choice. And maybe the person that is going to change the world in the most magnificent way is sitting right next to you, and you're giving them a side eye because they've been on the phone since they got back from school. I am Nompumelelo Lombonani, and I hope you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.